The facilitator tonight will be our president of the NAACP Peoria chapter, Don Jackson. And we also want to thank St. Paul Baptist Church for allowing us to use this beautiful, beautiful facility.
All right, so let's get started with this candidates forum for this evening. First of all, would Mr. Whalen and Mr. Gully take the stage, if you would? Now, to the audience, once they have given their three-minute presentation, we'll open the floor for questions. And everybody got a mic? All right. So, Mr. Whalen, we're going to let you go first since you're the incumbent. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us why you're running for the office?
My name is Joe Whalen, and I was born and raised in Peoria, not too far from here on Central Avenue, and went to St. Bernard's School, Spalding. I went into the Coast Guard. When I got out of the Coast Guard, I went on the police force. Then I married Sandy Dunn right here. That was 1963, 49 years ago. We have five children, and we have 10 and a half grandchildren. So we're hoping for conclusion on that. I've spent 32 years on the police force, and then I ran for township supervisor, 1994, and so I've been there for 20 years, and I'm asking for your vote because the office has just run along, to the best of my knowledge, at a pretty good rate. Is everything wonderful? No, it can't be. When you're serving the public, it just doesn't work that way. You do the best you can, and you have people who are happy, and then some people come to get service, and they don't qualify, and, of course, they're not happy with you. And many of the programs we have, I think one of the key ones that people are familiar with anyway, is the SoCo program. The client can receive once a year. A family gets $750. A single person gets $600. And then we have our medicine program. We have our eyeglass program, and those have worked out really pretty well. We have a burial program, but it's very, very small because the state handles most of the people in need's burials. Also, we fund Heartland Clinic. Now, I don't have to tell anybody here about how much medicine is because it's out of sight. I don't care who you are. It's just so far so expensive. But we give them $50,000 a year, and they have three facilities, John Gwynn being one of them, and one of them down in the south side, one over here on Wisconsin, and they have a dental program, too, on Wisconsin. Also, in our emergency program, we have a dental program, and it works through St. Francis Hospital. And they've instituted a program there in the last few years where they bring dentists in who have gotten out of dental school, but they're going on for advanced training. So it's a residency program, okay? So our people who go there are really getting served by top-notch doctors, and we're really happy with that, just really very happy with that. The program's done more than we ever thought it would be. So prior to that, it was not what we wanted, but it's all we could do. We couldn't find any dentists that would deal with us. So this has been a godsend. And so I would conclude with that is how the office runs. It's a small office. Our budget's $1,600,000 a year, and there's just four people in the office. And we're at 205 South Adams, next to ICC College. So some of you have probably heard of us. After all, the city has a $100 million budget, so we're not a big player, but we do the best we can. And so thank you, and thank the members of the church for letting us come here. This is a great facility, and I think you need to look forward to the next 25, 50 years where this parish can really grow and spread the gospel. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whalen.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson, and NAACP, and good evening to each of you. Just a little bit about myself. I want to first just remind everyone that I've been on the city council for 12 years, and I started off Saturday even just thanking you for giving me the opportunity, because it's that opportunity, being able to serve the community, that caused me to want to run for township supervisor. And on the council, of course, we've had an opportunity to, as you know, to be involved in many things with government, and that even includes oversight of the township office. I remember one night as I was at the council, I looked at some details of what's happening in the office and thought, there's some things that we could do better. There's some energy that I'd like to bring to that office that encouraged me back January of 2012 to think about this as an opportunity. I grew up on the Peoria South Side on Richard Pryor, which used to be Sheridan Street. My father was a hardworking Keystone man that at the same time had a small business, and what he did was work to build work ethic in his children, and we worked from the time I can remember. Duroc Shrine registered as that now is the Veterans Building downtown. At 5 years old, I used to dump the cans there. That's how I started off. I've been working hard all my life, and what I've done at the same time as while I was working, had an opportunity to really understand people and care for people. I currently live on the Peoria South Side. Gives me a view of this community and people in this community that really need to have someone that can help them when they are in times of need. So I am just excited about an opportunity to serve in a different capacity. One of the challenges I had as a council person is when you're working a job and then trying to do a full-time job as a council person. For those of you that have been on the council that are on the council, it puts itself out there as a part-time job, but if you really want to work at it, you can be at a full-time capacity. And so having those challenges of trying to work and at the same time serve the community, I saw this as an opportunity to be in full-time service to the community. I remember back when I was working at Autobaum & Sons. Autobaum & Sons is a construction contractor that after the Marines, I went to school for surveying. I'm a certified geodetic computer. That's what I always wanted to do, is be involved in construction and being self-employed. But at the same time, it created an opportunity for me to leave that and then go forward in the Build Peoria program. And that's how I got involved with the city. At the same time, we went, I'm just trying to wrap it up because there's so much more I want to tell you about me. But I think the point I wanted to summarize all of that is that when I left that job at Autobaum to come work at the city, the purpose of that was so I could serve the community. And when that got me involved with the Private Industry Council, Workforce Development, and I'll tell you more about me a little bit later because it's a long list of things. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gully. You gentlemen have set a good precedent. You both gave us your introduction within the three-minute time limit. Now it's your opportunity to ask questions of the two gentlemen who are running for township supervisor. For some of you who have been in this community for a number of years, we used to refer to as this as the Zach Monroe office. And if you acknowledge having information about that, you've been around a long time. Thank you. First question, what is your plan, if elected, to make the township office more accessible? Some citizens don't know where the office is, even located. Mr. Whalen, you want to be the first to answer that question?
The only thing I can say about that is we have handed out literature to all the agencies for several years about not only our location, of course, but our programs, a list of our programs. And the amount of flow we have coming into the office, it's about all we can handle, and it's all the money I have. After all, I only have what the city gives me, and when it's gone, it's gone, like the Silk Road program for this year. The money's gone, and it was last year. We did $550,000 last year. So to me, people certainly know where we're at and how to find us. So I don't really feel that there is that much of a problem of finding our location. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Gully?
You know, I think there is some things that we could do to make sure that we work closer with the community-based organizations and churches. I talked to before I got started in this race back in November, I spoke to 175 people in the city of Peoria that had no clue that the office even existed. They don't know that the programs are there. We may have sent out flyers. I don't know who's getting those flyers, but I know for a fact that I spoke to over 100 people that that don't know where their office is at. So my idea of what we can do is to look for ways to work even closer with the community-based organizations in the community. And at the same time, we have community-based organizations that are currently providing services that mirror what's being done by the township office. So if you build better relationships and the funding that they have, you know, we look at that, the people that are coming, we're running out of funds. But I don't know if we put a lot of thought in how we can expand the funds and be able to serve more people. And there are some things that we could do currently that would expand the dollars so we can meet more of the needs.
This question is sort of on that line, Mr. Gulley, and I'll allow you to be the first to answer. Explain how Township Relief gets its money and how can it be increased?
If you look at your tax bill, many of you you probably have blurred eyes after looking at the total cost of the bill, but there's a line on your tax bill for the township. And so the money comes, we say, from the city, from the assessment that's on your tax bill. The other way that you can look at having additional funds are some other grants that could be available. Some of the people, and an example I would give is, you know, we provide bus passes for people through the township office to be able to help people do things like, and some of the children use bus passes to go to school. They're supposed to be using them for going to work, but I think under the Title I funds, there's some additional funds that could be used to provide those same services. So instead of just looking at that the funding that's available is short and we're about to run out, what I would do is look at other things that we could do as a city to take advantage of grants and open up partnerships to be able to expand the dollars and meet a greater need. So that's one of the things I would do.
Thank you, Mr. Whalen. The question is, explain how or where the Township Relief gets its money and how it can be increased.
Mr. Gulley pretty well answered the question that the money comes from the city and the city only. Previously, before I came there 20 years ago, it was funded from the state. Actually, at one point 20 years ago, that office went through $20 million a year. But then the state just shut us off, and we don't get any federal money at all. And we have looked at some grants because that's about all it is. But, boy, it's tough today with the state being so far down in the hole, the federal government cutting back, as everybody knows. That's the only avenue left, and it's a narrow avenue. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else a question? Well, let me ask this question then. You mentioned that you get $1.6 million. First of all, are there any contributions that are made from the county to the Township Relief Office? And what if a person from the county comes for service? Are they turned away because they live in the county?
We do not receive any money from the county, and yes, they are turned away. And the reason they're turned away is that there's 20 townships in Peoria County, and so that township should handle their needs if they live in the county. Secondly, probably even more importantly, it's the tax dollar from the people who live in the city of Peoria that are funding that, and I don't think we have an obligation to fund somebody that comes from somebody who doesn't contribute. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Gulley?
Just because we're in the city of Peoria, there's some overlapping areas where I think that's a great idea to look at, not that we don't have it, but how could we utilize some funds from other sources like the county, like other corporate donations. I think that what we must understand is that this year we had to move $190,000 in the line item for general assistance because something that's happening in our community. And what's happening is that there are people that have needs, that the need is increasing. And what I'm saying, and I'm convinced of this, that we can't continue to do the same thing that we've always done when we have an environment that's changing and there are people that there's an increase in need. So I think we need to look at even something else that probably won't be supported, but it's something that, of course, we say we look at. That look at where the levy is right now. Maybe it's 0.0001 increase, which is a small amount that only gives us enough to bury one more person. But I think when the need is growing, and we have identified for sure that in our community, the services that are provided by the township office, the needs are growing. So we need to look at ways so that we can provide more services to people that have needs. And so that's what I would like to do.
Sure, go ahead.
Let me explain this a little bit. The general assistance program that we moved that money over to we moved it out of the emergency fund because I had to. That program is state mandated. I don't have anything I can say about it, okay? And the people who are receiving that money generally, first of all, they cannot be able to physically work. And secondly, the majority of them are trying to get on SSI. And when they do get on SSI, then they drop from the program. So that's where this increase of people coming into the office is. That's why we had to move the money over there. As I said, I have no choice.
All right, this question has again to do with the fund itself. How much of your fund is used for Heartland Clinic? That's the first question. Follow-up question is, will we see anything different in terms of funds use that would be allocated from Obamacare? You understand the question? In other words, will the fund be expanded by virtue of any of the provisions of Obamacare?
I think it's $50,000. Is the current funding. That was the first part of the question. Would it be expanded? I don't see it being expanded, but I think it could even possibly be reduced. But when we look at the services and reduced because the funds that come from the Obamacare are for specific services, and as we talked about, we have different line items that we can move money within the current funds. And so if you have funding that comes from another source, then we could take the $50,000 that's there and use it for something else. So in summary, when other funds come in, we could move funds within our funding budget because we have another source of funding for that program. And so then to answer your question that, yes, we could reduce it, and that's only because we have other funding.
First of all, let me say I don't understand Obamacare. It's 2,000 pages, and I haven't read it. And if money savings come, then when it comes, we'll do something with it. But I'll just wait till it happens. Federal government moves pretty slow, as we all know, so I wouldn't be jumping on that right away.
Well, let me ask both of you this question. Are you limited in where you can seek funds? For example, can you make a grant request to a foundation that's outside of the federal government, outside of the state of Illinois, but yet may provide services for the poor? Do you know of any restrictions whatsoever in your operating rules that would prevent you from seeking grant aid from sources like that? Mr. Whalen?
My simple answer is no. I don't know of any reason why you couldn't. I've never heard of it done. I've been to township meetings all over the state of Illinois. I'm not denying what you say. I've just never heard of it, okay?
All right. Mr. Gully?
Well, I would hope that as a form of government, as a city that's a part of the city, would be allowed to receive grants. The city of Peoria receives millions of dollars of grants currently. I think that what has just been said is that we really haven't looked at those opportunities. And I think that's the thing that motivates me about this opportunity as township. I've been involved in even churches, local churches, where we've written grants and were successful because we needed funds for services that we didn't have money to provide. I think that's an option that should be explored. And there are people that have funds, even though this country has many businesses and many people that we know say that there's no money and there's everybody's out of money, there's still a whole lot of people that have opportunities. So, yes, I believe that we, number one, can receive funds, and number two, that's the option, something that I want to explore as a township supervisor, other funding or sources to increase the services for the people in the community that need it the most.
Okay, any other questions? Well, I have another one then. I don't want to step on anybody's questions, but I have a follow-up question. And I guess this is be directed to you, Mr. Gully. Realizing that the township office only has $1.6 million, in past years, has the council questioned the opportunities, the lack of opportunities to seek other funds of the office, either under Mr. Whalen's administration or previous administrations to that, to your knowledge? In other words, have they encouraged them to go out and look for other money to expand this $1.6 million in services?
No, the council hasn't done that. And I think that as a council member, I know we pretty much leave the administration of the township to the township supervisor. And at the same time, we have a council liaison that brings information to us. So as a council person, there's never been any dialogue about increasing any funding. And let me even just maybe go further with that, because I think when you look at the information that's being provided to the city council, there's a lot of times, if you go back and look at the minutes over the years, the township agenda will come forward, and there's really no conversation or dialogue about anything that's happening in the township. Just recently, I tried to bring some things forward just to make sure we are at least looking at it. Just like the council 2 weeks ago voted down an issue on the township because they hadn't even noticed that since the year 2000 that we have been falsely, that we weren't including travel allowances in the pension properly, or we didn't have the documentation for it. We've been doing it, but we weren't documented correctly. Now, this is a very important item, but even though it was a very important item, we weren't prepared to have dialogue about it. We didn't really talk about it. We were just going to vote on it, just like we do everything else that comes from the township. So basically, the Peoria City Council, myself included, has not really put a magnifying glass on the things that's going on in the township. And that's just one issue that was brought forward, and we looked at it and said, well, wait a minute, we need to look at this a little closer. And so if you look at the minutes, after we brought it up, the council voted it down 9-2, and that was because they hadn't reviewed it, didn't have the information, they weren't prepared. So I think the township office for probably over 20 years have had things just slide through, and no one is really concerned about it. We don't even know. If you ask the council members, call them tomorrow, ask them how many people do we serve, what are your outcomes, what are your goals, what are you going to do different? And when you look at the township office, you have none of that information available. And I look at it, I see that as probably one of the most important things that we have going on. It's only 1.6, but for the people that are recipients, that's a lot of money.
Mr. Whalen, the other side of the question that I asked Mr. Gulley, I know you can't answer for the city council since you have not been a member of it, but the other side of the question is, why haven't you looked beyond just the $1.6 million for other sources of money to increase the pool of money available? In other words, why haven't you done some research to figure out where you could file a grant or and get additional money for the poor in this community?
Well, to answer your question directly, this has never come up, to be honest with you. And as I've said to you, I've been to all kinds of town meetings, township meetings all over the state, even in Washington, and nobody ever has mentioned grants any place, anytime, anywhere. So I guess that's the best answer I can give you.
Thank you, sir. This question assumes that there apparently is a confidentiality problem, it says. With the change in Peoria, or changes in Peoria, how can you improve services as far as confidentiality for the people that you serve? And I guess we'll start with you, Mr. Whalen.
I don't know if I quite understand the question. Let me say this to you. The people that receive from our office, I've never had anybody come and ask, did this person receive? And if so, how much? That question has just never been brought up. I don't know what to say to you. It just hasn't.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Gulley? First of all, I guess the question, again, assumes that there is a problem with confidentiality in the office. And the question is, with the changes in Peoria, how can you improve services as far as confidentiality for the people the office serves?
Well, I don't know who brought that question up, but I'm glad you did, because that was another thing that was a motivator for me to be involved as a township. When you go to the current office, it's merged with the assessor office. You're bringing forth a lot of personal information about, you know, for whatever situation you're dealing with. And they actually are serving them out in the open with other staff people. I really would feel uncomfortable about sharing my personal information in that setting. I remember when I came to the council for them to create the new office and merge it into the assessor's office. And I remember going there, and there's a what I call a closet. It really should be used as a closet, but I believe that's screening room. I think it's another one of the most uncomfortable things that happens in the office. I believe if people have to go there, you should be treated as citizens just because you're without a job or you can't get a job or you can't get SSI or you can't get welfare and you need help. You shouldn't be treated, in my opinion, as a second or third class citizen. And so I think that's something that we need to change. That's something that shouldn't happen in Peoria or anywhere in America.
Mr. Whalen, do you have a response to that comment?
Yes, I do. The information that we get from the intake when they come in, I have never heard anybody complain about it that's come in who's ever said, gee, I don't like somebody who's sitting around that could listen to what I'm saying. Never had a complaint. About the room that's small, it is small. But, again, we've never had a complaint from anybody. They're in there 20 minutes maximum, and they're gone. And there's a table. Once a person sits here, the other one sits there. And that's just about all there is to it. I mean, as I say, I haven't had any complaints. This is the first I've heard of this. So.
Well, you know that in this society that more and more people are depending on public services just to maintain their family, so-called middle class in our community. And some people may be embarrassed to go into an office like this and ask for help. Do you see that as a problem? And if so, have you tried to at all in the office provide for confidential interviewing of people that may come in to seek your services?
Well, it's kind of split in half. The people that come in the front is open. There's no question about it. But then the people that come into this small room, that's about as confidential as you could possibly get it. And these are two different programs. Now, the people coming in the front are looking for emergency, usually medicine, eyeglasses, dental, of course. And so that's a standard form, like where do you live, what is your income? And I don't know how offensive that is to anybody. As I said, I've never heard anybody complain. And the other small room is the general assistance, where a lot more information is taken. But I couldn't be more private. I don't know how I could. Okay, that's it.
Mr. Gully, would you like to have a comment on that last question?
Just briefly, I would say this. Probably there's no one that... that has complained directly to the provider. But I think many of us that are in this room, if you were going to someone for help, I don't think you would start off by complaining about what you may be uncomfortable with if you're in a situation that you really need help. So, you know, the fact that no one complained, I would submit that doesn't mean that there are people that are not happy about the service. It's just that if I need help, I mean, it may be uncomfortable, but I'm not going to say anything because, you know, I need to bury my loved one. So that to me is a problem and that's something that we should be able to fix.
One final question, and a rather short one, and then we'll allow both of you gentlemen, starting with Mr. Gully, to give us a wrap-up on why we should vote for you for this office. The final question is, are salaries included in the $1.6 million budget, and if so, what percentage of the budget do the salaries and other benefits take up of that budget?
Yes, the salary is included, and it's 14.5%.
All right. Mr. Gully, do you have anything to add to that answer?
And I thought that totally with the administration is $2.8 million. And I guess I need to go through that to make sure. I know that there's like a 2.8 allocation. The expenditures, as it shows on the current budget, is the $1.6 million. So I think we need to drill into that because I heard it mentioned the other day it was 1.6, and I thought it was 2.8. And I have the budget here so we can figure that out, but I think it's 2.8.
So is it your opinion that the 1.6 is for services exclusively?
I'm going to have to say yes to that. And I tried to, when I heard the 1.6, I thought I have seen a number that was larger than that. And it says expenditures, so I need to drill into it. So I don't want to say something. What I'm going to say is I don't know the answer to that question. I learned that some time ago. I don't know the answer to that question. But I have the answer in my hand. I'll let you know before I leave this place.
Thank you. Mr. Whalen, you have a response to what Mr. Gully said?
No, I'll stay with right I'm at. Where I'm at, okay.
All right, so thank you, gentlemen, and now's your opportunity to do a final wrap-up. We'll afford you 2 minutes apiece, and tell us why specifically we should vote for you for Peoria Township Relief Supervisor. Mr. Gully.
You know, this position, a township, we've heard it said that it's been going just fine for the last 20 years. You know, I don't know about you, but most of us that live in this community know that there are a lot of things that have had to change. There's a lot of things that have changed in 20 years. I don't believe that we can continue to do the same thing that we've been doing for 20 years. I believe that what I can do is bring some new ideas. We've talked about grants, different funding streams, better services, more accountability to the council, better reporting to the council, and as the council and the community knows more about what's going on in the office, that's going to help us as a community to be able to understand what's going on in the office and then change things to make this a better department. And so what we've had in the last 20 years has been just the same old thing, the same old programs, and just doing things the same old way and just getting by. I think that is very important just because the idea of the fact that there has been an increase and the need in the community, we need to increase the focus on this department so that we can make sure we do the things that have to be done. So there's so much more I'd like to say to you about this, that, and I know 2 minutes won't do it, but if you elect me as township supervisor, you'll see that I'm a hardworking man, and I'll work hard for you to make it a better department, and you'll be proud of the fact that we have a department called Township Relief, and it'll actually be doing the best job that's possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gully. Mr. Whalen?
When I took over 20 years ago, we did not have an emergency program. We had the general assistance, and the reason for that was that we were getting state funding, okay, lots of it. I wasn't there for that, but it died as soon as I came out. The state legislator just cut it off, said no more. And so we went back then to, of course, only city funding. So I had to make some changes, obviously, and one of them was to start the emergency program, okay, the eyeglasses, the medicine, the teeth, the burial. And so that was something that was new, that wasn't, and it was new since I made it new. We've upgraded our computers, of course, as we've gone on the 20 years. Technology's changed. We've changed with it. But the basics have not changed. You're given so much money to run this office, and that's how it is. What programs? You fund this, but if you don't fund that, you take it from this. You know, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, and that's just the way the place runs. It's always going to run that way. You can implement this, implement that, but the same money at the bottom of the line, unless you can get grants, which have been brought up before, and I've never personally been involved in them, nor have I ever heard of them. And I think it's a good idea, but I've just never heard of it done anywhere, from New York to the Mississippi River, okay? So I'm asking for your vote on my 20 years there, my 52 years of experience with the city, and I plan on just running the office the way I've run it. Just move it right along. Give the money out to the needy, those who qualify for it. We do the best we can with them, and that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Whalen. Mr. Whalen, Mr. Gully, appreciate your comments tonight. Let's give them a round of applause, please.